Ross Molin Podcast.
You better listen.
Welcome back to the Ross Bolin Podcast, otherwise known as RBP, presented by Bolin Media. I am your host, Ross Bolin, and this week, someone attempted to catfish your boy. It was a flattering moment for me, frankly. It's been a hot minute since anyone tried to fish this cat. So I got a text from a number that I don't have around like 1 a.m. a few nights ago, okay, while I'm trying to fall asleep. And look, I don't get a lot of 1 a.m. text messages anymore, okay? I'm a 33-year-old man. If I get a 1 a.m. text message, it's because something really good or really bad has happened, like a birth or a death. Like most people my age crash somewhere between like 8 p.m. and midnight at the latest, whereas I'm a night owl and my brain doesn't shut down till a little later, like 12:30 is my target lights off bedtime, right? If I'm asleep by 1 a.m., that's good stuff. We're good. The point is, my phone lights up, and I'm like, oh shit, someone was born or died. Turns out, nah, neither. Straight up photo from a rando number. Mirror selfie. Bad bitch with a filter or whatever. Standard mirror selfie in the undies. And I'm like, ugh, here we go again. Music video models can't get off my damn dick. Same old song. I'm kidding, of course. This person has a story. The particular story they chose, though, in an attempt to catfish me, outrageous. So ballsy. Like, I can't tell if this person was trying to entrap me somehow or just lure me into public so they could turn me into a lampshade in their creepy apartment. You be the judge. So the web that she or he attempted to weave, it wasn't all that complicated, but it was calculated and a strategic risk on their part. It was somebody who was familiar enough to me to know that I have interviewed over the years several times on my shows, Mia Khalifa. And this person claimed to be a fan of the podcast who is friends with a girl in Austin who I am like 2 degrees removed from. Like, I know someone who used to date this chick that used to be Mia Khalifa's personal trainer. And allegedly Mia was supposed to connect us, me and this person texting me. But she must have forgotten or be crazy busy right now. But the person was telling me they're in town for a few days and they want to meet up. And it's not a bad story, frankly. The problem is I've been friends with Mia for like 7 years now. And they assumed this relationship was like a social media or professional relationship only. And that I wouldn't have the ability to verify this story with Mia. Now, this is not a humble brag. She's a married woman and strictly the homegirl. But I texted her. And I asked her, like, yo, is this legit? Some chick is trying to stick a fish and a cat in my ass, I think. And immediately she was like, it's a trap. As I expected. So I just laugh at the balls this person has and delete the message or whatever. 2 days later, another 1 a.m. text message comes through. And I find it fascinating that they're only willing to shoot their shot at 1 a.m. Like, maybe then I'll be lonely, horny, or high enough to slip up and send a cock shot back or some shit. But I haven't taken a picture of my dick since Vietnam. I have absolutely zero idea why anyone would want a photo of any penis or vagina, regardless of how perfectly shapely, hairless, and clean they may be. Neither is photogenic at all. These are not photogenic body parts. One is a fleshy meat stick splattered with hair, and the other is an Arby's-looking roast beef burger. These parts weren't manufactured for photography. They were manufactured for pleasure. They're strictly functional and for reproduction. I would argue that by photographing the penis and vagina, we are all actively doing damage to our sex lives, a disservice to ourselves. And I mean no disrespect to our magical private parts, in fact. I'm just trying to do us all a favor and savor them and their image a little bit more. Look, there are beautiful dicks and vaginas that don't look good in photos, fam. Like, boobs are photogenic. Butts, in many cases, photogenic. Legs, abs, whatever, the beach muscles. But the penis and vagina were meant to be enshrouded in general mystery. Like, I'll meet that cat face to face, but don't send me a photograph and make me feel like I need to put this alien organ under a microscope and study it until I can find the clitoris. What was the story about? Anyway, so I responded with an emoji of a cat and then an emoji of a fish, right? Catfish. Haha. Shut the whole thing down, right? Game over. No more reason to play. Wrong again. He or she continued to try and deny. Ended up sending like some 500-word text with some bullshit, like 8 more photos of some poor thick with 2 C's chick who probably has no idea this psycho has scooped their pics off of Instagram or whatever. Here's the message that I get in the end. So, I'm only here for a few more days, so don't have time to wait around for Mia to do something she probably doesn't have time to do. Keep in mind, I've already verified at this point that Mia has absolutely fucking nothing to do with this, has no clue who this person is. She continues, he continues, whoever continues. She has her own shit going on. I would love to grab a coffee or a juice with you sometime to have a proper intro and attempt to alleviate the weirdness of the situation. You're super cute. I've been listening to your podcast forever, and I'm sure you won't be free to have fun with ladies visiting Austin much longer. So fuck it, here's some more pics. And then offered to buy me a smoothie and says they'll be around till next Tuesday or some shit. See you next Tuesday. Ha! But first off, what the hell does some of this mean? It's like veiled threats almost. Like, what do you mean? I won't have fun with ladies visiting Austin much longer. Do you know the world is going to end or that you're going to kill me? I just, like, and they alleviate the weirdness of the situation. Look, the weirdness of the situation is that you are a fucking stranger who somehow got my phone number and texted me in an attempt to either legitimately meet up, which makes you even crazier than if you're trying to catfish me, in my opinion, because you're texting me at 1 a.m. and we don't fucking know each other, or you're just trying to catfish me and it's just like, what do you... That's the weirdness of the situation. You can't alleviate it. You fucking created it. So I finally blocked the number. But, like, it's just funny to me. Like, I just told you I fact-checked your shit, and you're still seeing if I'll be stupid enough to meet you for juice? Like, I'm wearing a mask to that meeting, and not the COVID kind. And I'm coming home with a little more money in my pocket than I had beforehand. Look, I wasn't born yesterday, kids. I've been in this game for a decade come January. You know how many cats I've fished out through the years? One time during the first ever season of our television and film podcast, Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, my co-host Mr. Barrett Dudley and I thought we were getting messages from a smoking hot fan, and after a few weeks it turned out to be someone using then-pornographic film star B.B. Jones's pics to entrap and catfish us. Very unfair. The point is this. If you come at the king, you best not miss. I'm not a moron. I'm not some desperate Chris D'Elia-ass pussy hound. I'm not trying to receive photos from randos or end up a lampshade in some creepy dude's apartment. Get up out my trap house. Leave me alone. If you come for me or mines, you're getting put underground. Never forget that shit, you fishing-ass feline freaks. RBP310 is brought to you by Felix Gray Glasses. I constantly have my face in a screen from morning to night. There's no cutting back. 2020 has not been great for the screen time. More than ever, all of us are relying on technology to get our jobs done, to stay in touch with friends and family. The screens are here to stay, people. They're unavoidable. You have to protect your ojos. And there are a lot of blue light glasses on the market. Unfortunately, they're not all created equal. Many blue light glasses don't filter enough blue light, especially in the range that matters. Screens produce most blue light at a certain point in the spectrum, 455 nanometers. Most clear blue light lenses only filter about 2 to 3% in that range. Felix Gray uses a proprietary filtering technology to filter 15 times more blue light in the same range. Too much screen time results in tired, dry eyes, blurry vision, headaches, trouble sleeping. I've been wearing contacts and glasses since I was 12 years old. I live in the allergy capital of the freaking world. I'm all too familiar with these symptoms, but since I've been rocking with Felix Gray, and specifically, I have the Faraday and the Nash frames. I love them both. Peep the clear Faraday frames if you're trying to stunt on my level. I'm telling you, I've never felt the ocular comfort I feel with some Felix Grays on my face. They filter out 90% of blue light in the most damaging range, eliminate 99% of glare through a proprietary industry-leading lens technology only available in Felix Gray. 9 in 10 Felix Gray customers report significant symptom relief. Their frames are hand-finished from durable, super lightweight Italian acetate. With over 200,000 happy customers, Felix Gray isn't just the right choice, it's the only choice. The relief you feel sliding the old Felix Grays on is going to blow your mind. Faraday Frames, check them out. Nash, check them out. Sexy, fly, styling. They'll make your eyes feel good. Available in prescription, non-prescription, and readers. Felix Gray has you covered with optical glasses for work, sleep glasses in the evening that are clinically proven to increase melatonin secretion when worn leading up to bedtime. And you can try them for 30 days risk-free. Go to felixgrayglasses.com/RBP for the absolute best quality blue light filtering glasses on the market. That's F-E-L-I-X. G-R-A-Y, glasses.com/RBP. Do what I did. Start taking care of your eyes. Feel better. Work smarter. Shipping returns totally free at Felix Gray. FelixGrayGlasses.com/RBP. Time for some announcements and shouts. Shouts to Chris out there on an oil tanker in the Pacific Ocean. I see you, dude. Happy birthday coming July 7th. Chris, in the middle of the Pacific. TFM readings. For the TFM book that I've been reading live on twitch.tv/bossroland every Sunday evening at 9 p.m. Central the last several weeks. If you've missed chapters 1-9, every single one of them is available to watch and listen to on youtube.com/bolinmedia. Big shouts to everyone who tunes in when I'm live on twitch.tv/bossroland. We're going to talk a little bit about Twitch at the end of the show today to kind of give y'all who have been out of the loop a look into what exactly that platform is and what we're doing there. I play a lot of Warzone, Grand Theft Auto, Apex Legends. I'm downloading new games constantly. Just got Tropico. And listen, as I said last week, or actually earlier this week, if 50,000 of y'all will tune in, then I'll play NCAA 2014. Just holler at your boy. YouTube.com/BolinMedia, Twitch.tv/BossRoland, TFM book reading, chapter 10, this upcoming Sunday, 9 p.m. Central, after you have yourself a hell of a 4th of July weekend to close it out Sunday night, we'll be back, TFM book, chapter 10, YouTube.com/BolinMedia to get caught up, and for the next live reading, Twitch.tv/BossRoland. It's time to get into it. Our first segment, must be nice to be Bobby Bonilla. So July 1st, yesterday, was Bobby Bonilla Day. And I know this because I got a text from my dad asking me if I knew what that was and telling me to look into it for the show. And I'm glad I did because, frankly, it's been months since we had any real positive sports news. And with every passing day, I have more doubt that we'll actually get a full season of baseball or basketball. Even these shortened, when I say full, I'm doing that in air quotes, full season. I need sports, okay? So here's a hashtag sports story. And it's one that I had heard before, sort of, never fully processed. It's incredibly wild. I would love a deal like this from someone, please. So, from CBS Sports. For more than a few MLB players and ex-players, July 1st is a big day on the baseball calendar. It's the day many signing bonuses and deferred salary payments, or portions thereof, are made. Must be fun checking that direct deposit each year, huh? Former All-Star Bobby Bonilla, who last played in the year 2001, has become the face of July 1st payday. As part of a deferred salary agreement, the New York Mets have paid Bonilla a touch more than $1.19 million. It's actually $1,193,248.20 every single July 1st since 2011. And they will continue doing so until the year 2035. Bobby Bonilla is 57 years old. Okay, he last played a game for the New York Mets in January of 2000 is when he was released. He's 57. He will be 72 years old when the New York Mets make their last $1.19 million payment to him. What? Everybody always hears about the Allen Iverson contract, right? That Reebok set aside like $30 million for him or whatever for X. He couldn't get to it till he was X years away from whatever. But of course, Allen has found ways to leverage other and borrow money against that undoubtedly. And God knows how much of it is actually left. This is the fucking setup. So the Mets originally signed Bonilla to a 5-year contract worth $29 million in the year 1991, which at the time, in 1991, $29 million was the richest contract in team sports. Okay? Very important to keep this in mind. It's an incredible point of contact for comparing salaries in 2020 in professional sports to 1991, which is not that long ago, when I was, what? I was born in 86, 4 years old. This was the richest contract in team sports, $29 million. Okay, so we spent three and a half seasons on that contract with the New York Mets before being traded away. He actually ends up winning a World Series with the Marlins in 1997. He's later traded back to the Mets as part of their post-championship fire sale. Then they release him in January 2000, but the Mets were still on the hook for his $5.9 million salary that season. Here's where it gets crazy. Believing they were poised to make a significant profit through their investments with Bernie Madoff, does that name sound familiar? Mets ownership instead agreed to defer Bobby Bonilla's salary with 8% interest and spread it across 25 years from 2011 to 2035. So, of course, whoever manufactured this, whether it was just the Mets or it was Bobby's agent, he has the greatest agent in the history of sports regardless. It doesn't even fucking matter if he pulled it off. The Madoff Ponzi scheme that we all know about now obviously falls apart. And Bonilla's $5.9 million swelled to $29.8 million from 2000 to 2011. So that $29.8 million divided by 25 years equals the $1.19 million payment he's receiving every year. So that's just the fucking, that's the giant cake, right? Then there's a cherry on top that we're going to get to in a second. But first, just to recover what I just said. They signed him in 1991. They released him in January of 2000, and somehow he has ended up with a deal that pays him for 25 years with 8% interest. In it, Bernie Madoff is involved. And here's the cherry. Bobby has a second deferred salary agreement. Somehow he also has one of these with the Orioles, where they pay him $500,000 a year from the year 2004 to 2028. And as they put it on CBS Sports, July 1 is a good day in the Bonilla household. Dude, you know how, like, when the last season of Game of Thrones was going to come out, for a lot of us, and my attitude in particular for about 6 months there was like, I just have to survive every day until the new season of Game of Thrones comes out. Imagine if every July 1, you knew you had a solid $1.69 million coming in from the Mets and Orioles, and you just had to make it to July 1st. And the beauty of it is this is all set up in a way to where, like, I'm pretty sure if these teams cease to exist, bro still gets paid. The Major League Baseball season doesn't have to happen. Bobby Bonilla doesn't give a shit if they play 60 games or 5,000. He's getting his $1.19 million from the Mets and his $500K from the Orioles and being Bobby. What a fucking deal. This is how I'm trying to get set up. Bobby Bonilla. Must be nice. Next segment. Ross finally watched Uncut Gems. Look, everyone knows I'm a massive, massive Adam Sandler fan, all right? And it's in a different way than I'm, say, a massive fan of Leonardo DiCaprio. Like, I'm going to go see any Leo movie that comes out in theaters. He doesn't miss. Different kind of actor, different kind of career. That's not the relationship me and Adam Sandler have. He is an icon to me, but on a different level. Someone who shaped my childhood and sense of humor through his earliest works, starting with the fucking Crank Call and silly-ass skit cassette tapes he used to put out, right into Saturday Night Live, and then obviously Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison, as his two best classics that he then named his company Happy Madison Productions after. The Wedding Singer, The Waterboy, Big Daddy. I mean, if you disrespect the name of Adam Sandler in front of me, I will absolutely fight you. He's made a shitload of duds, obviously. So many cash grabs over the last decade that it's borderline criminal from just a top viewpoint. But he earned the right to make movies like Grown Ups and Jack and Jill. And while I will never, ever watch those movies, they don't, like, sully or tarnish the image of Adam Sandler in my mind in any way. Like, I respect his right to make those movies. Also, he makes a stupid amount of money off those asinine franchises that you would just expect to be utter and total failures. Like, go look up the fucking profit they've made off the Grown Ups series. It is mind-blowing. Absolutely nuts. Man has had a ton of success. So we've spent a lot of time talking to Adam Sandler and his career as a result of him being one of the most influential comedians and actors on my own personal sense of humor. And we've even speculated that maybe, just maybe, he could have one more classic movie in him. And I always assumed it would be a comedy. And then came Uncut Gems in 2019. It got all the Oscar buzz. Everybody wanted Adam to get nominated. He didn't. He won the Golden Globe or whatever. Not the Golden Globe, but one of those other ones. And he did a great speech. Was not the Golden Globes. But this movie was raved about for a few months. They did a phenomenal job of marketing the movie. Like, Sandler and Garnett were on every podcast possible, except for ours. Apparently, we aren't big enough yet, so tell your friends about this show. But I never watched the movie. I never watched it. Until 2 days ago, I finally watched it. And then I finished it yesterday, I should say. I split it into two installments, mostly because most people described this to me as nonstop anxiety. And I'm an anxious guy, right? I have panic attacks, panic disorder. This hasn't been the most secure, stable, several-month stretch for me here. So it just wasn't something I was, like, rushing to go watch. Now, that being said, I finally got to a place where I was like, I got to see this fucking movie. It's like, it's July of 2020. I need to watch Uncut Gems. So I do, and I did. And I'll be real with you, I actually felt great watching it. I feel like it's the same way 2020 being a shitstorm for everyone has made me feel like my own life is less of a shitstorm. Like, I feel a little more comfortable and, like, not so alone. Seeing somebody else go through nonstop panic and anxiety due to their degenerate moves was actually calming to me. Now, that being said, it's definitely not a rewatch movie. This isn't one you run back. I mean, you could. It'll probably be a few years before I do. Great fun, loved it, but, like, it's one of those when you've seen it, and it's sort of like this nonstop thrill ride, right? Which, basically, look, I'm not going to do, like, heavy spoilers here if you haven't seen it somehow, if you're one of the few people on the planet who's waited longer than me. First of all, I fucking loved it. I give it a solid 7.37 on a 1 to 10 scale. You know, C-, C+, I don't know, it's a good-ass movie. It's very watchable. It's not a fucking classic by any means. I don't think this is, like, the movie that reminded me Adam Sandler is a goat or something like that, like, I hope it's not the last one he does that I find to be very good. I hope he does another comedy at some point, frankly. I don't know if he has that in him anymore, though. I feel like he's just a more serious dude. He's a different dude. He's grown up. People change, right? I don't know if he has that same type of silliness anymore or if he's got to do more shit like this. Either way, I'm cool. Great movie. But the gist of it is he's a degenerate gambler who works in the diamond and gem industry. He gets some crazy uncut gem from some fucking miner in, I can't even remember, it doesn't matter. I think he says he pays $100,000 for the gem. That's what he tells KG at the end of the movie anyway. He slangs it for a couple hundred K. He meant to slang it for a mil. But over the course of the movie, essentially what he does is try to parlay one move into another move into another move. So, like, he lets KG hold this stone, and in exchange, he takes KG's Boston Celtics championship ring. He pawns that ring to get money to do this, to do that, to do this, to do that. And in the end, it all culminates in this one final outrageous bet he makes, right? He throws down what's called a parlay. And I think he does a three-part parlay. The first part is that Kevin Garnett, the Boston Celtics, have to win the opening tip. The second is that Garnett needs to get more points than they thought he would, and the third is that he has to get more rebounds than he thought he would. And the fourth, I believe, is the Celtics' money line, a four-part parlay. He puts $165,000 on it to win millions, okay? It's an insane bet. Parlays are... I need you to understand this. If you don't bet on sports, parlays are insane. Just if you did a normal parlay, which I used to do all the fucking time. You know how many thousands of dollars I've burnt over the past 10 years on parlays? Many thousands of dollars. These are jokes. I bet small amounts on each one. Like, a $100 parlay would be the most I ever did. Well, that's not even close to being true. But it, for the most part, is. To put $165K on a parlay, much less a four-leg parlay, three legs of a parlay is a crazy parlay. If there are three bets that have to hit, your odds are insane. Even two, trash. Four is bonkers. So if you didn't understand the gist of how insane what he did was, let me put it this way. It would be like flipping a coin for your life. But if the coin, if you needed heads and it was like 98% tails or something. And the fact that he put the opening tip on this parlay, I need y'all to understand, if Kevin Garnett doesn't grab the opening tip, The rest of the bet is mook. It's gone. It's lost. The parlay is over. The 165 grand is gone. And our boy is dead. It's the most patently degenerate and insane bet I've ever seen on a movie. And I love that they went that route. I haven't felt the rush of sports betting this year, like, to the degree that I normally do. I mean, we've gotten to bet on UFC. We've gotten to bet on some NASCAR here and there, some things that we've been able to throw down on some golf tournaments. We've had some fun. Don't get me wrong. But it's not like it was in, you know, a normal year where I'm betting 15 different football games a weekend or some shit, and I've got that insane degenerate rush as a result. Watching his ass with those three dudes locked in the fucking entrance, watching his ass try to win this bet, watch the Celtics game unfold against, I think, the 76ers, was the first time in 2020 I felt that rush, and I fucking loved it. Adam Sandler is that dude still. Always. Respect Mr. Sandler! Uncut Gems. Watch it if you haven't. Finally did. Loved it. I mean, look, it wasn't one of the best movies I've ever seen or anything. It was wildly entertaining, a hell of a ride, and culminated in all, what I thought was a really good little piece of movie. Hell of a win for Adam Sandler. RBP310 is also brought to you by Bird Dogs, makers of the most comfortable all-purpose shorts in the fucking world. You can literally wear them to do anything, anywhere, at any time. What are Bird Dogs? They're gym shorts with a built-in silky soft inner liner that makes underwear obsolete. They are shockingly comfortable. Honestly, I'm wearing some of my blue ones right now. Literally feels like I'm wearing nothing, like I'm just sitting here in this chair ass naked in the nude, like Pooh Bear, recording a podcast wearing a Pooh Bear outfit with a top and no bottoms. They dry faster than a bathing suit. Bird Dogs. You can hit a workout, jump straight into the pool, get out, dry off in the sun, then wear them to drive around in your Tesla because you have a Tesla now. Then drive that Tesla back home and wash it with your golden retriever Elvis because you're wearing Bird Dogs. And baby, you can do anything. Go to birddogs.com, enter the promo code RBP, that's B-I-R-D-D-O-G-S, birddogs.com, promo code RBP when you check out, and they will throw in a free Bird Dogs face mask. It's like a condom, but for your mouth. Free Bird Dogs face mask along with your pair of Bird Dogs. They're actually very high quality masks. They're beautiful, beautiful masks. Birddogs.com, code RBP, boom. Free Bird Dogs face mask with your order. Enjoy your Bird Dogs. You will never want to take them off. They're a safe space for all your most valuable possessions. Next segment. Wash us in the blood. Give me the blood, Lord, and let me get away. So Kanye West, the ever-controversial Kanye West. Wake up, Mr. West, Mr. West, has dropped a new song. It's him and Travis Scott, thank God. Please, please, don't do anything else by yourself. Yay, you gots to have somebody in the booth with you. And he needs to be under the age of 30. I don't give a fuck if it's Travis or who. Somebody has got to be in the booth with you. You can't be trusted to make music by yourself anymore, bro. I'm not, it's no offense. You just, like, if you go back and listen to Follow God or any of the songs off of, Jesus is King? I mean, absolutely no disrespect to people of religion. I'm a Christian. That album, I didn't need that. I'm sorry. I didn't. We got plenty of Christian music made by people who are putting deeper thought into it than the most base level fucking kumbaya bullshit that this fool put out. And those beats are filthy. He wasted them is what I'm saying. It feels like he wasted an album of incredible production on something that's like in his catalog. You get to Jesus is King and you're like, what? What the fuck? We went from one day I'm going to marry a porn star to actually marrying a porn star to Jesus is King. And it's just confusing. So, and again, it's not that I mean, this man can do whatever the fuck he wants. Same type of deal as Adam Sandler to me. I don't expect anybody to maintain sanity their entire fucking career in life if they're one of the best to ever do it. That's not how art works, man. Name a stable artist. Like, you have to be a nut to be a genius. You do. What the fuck? It doesn't work that way. If you're one of the smartest, most talented people in the world, you don't have the same viewpoints as everybody else. Your shit is going to be crazy. But this fool needs somebody in there with him to keep his shit reined in. And fucking thank God we have it in Travis Scott here. This is a banger, dude. This isn't a waste of a beat at all. This is my shit. This will get me fucking turned up. I'm running around the house, ripping clothes off, yelling. And I'm pretty sure this thing was mixed by Dr. Dre, and Kanye put up like a photo of like he spilled some orange juice on Dr. Dre's rug while he was at his house forcing him to do this, which I'm pretty sure just means that Dre like made, I mean, Kanye made Dre sit in the booth with him and listen to him rant about God knows what for a few hours in exchange for like $50,000 and then saying that he mixed it. But it's Kanye and Travis Scott through and through. And it's got like old school Yeezus vibes throughout. It is riddled with, and I should say that with a different adjective, but it's too late. I've already said it. Sort of biblical references and more, you know, Holy Spirit come down is repeated over and over. There's more religious stuff inserted here, but, and there's no cursing that I can remember. He's stuck with that. But all in all, this is it's a song. It's a legit hip hop song. It's a rap song. It's an actual song. And it's a well-produced one because it's three of the most talented producers to ever walk the earth on one track in Kanye, Travis Scott, and Dr. Dre. And it's also fire bars from Ye, some weirdness from, Travis Scott opens his verse talking about 30 states still execute, which I don't know why we're getting into that all of a sudden, but it just seems random. Just to bring the death penalty into it, it's like, hey, we're discussing every other fucking controversial thing possible right now. We might as well bring the death penalty back into play. Thank you, Travis Scott. Great song, though. It just feels good. Like, I didn't know this was coming. It was on a day I needed it, man. But I had a rough fucking week mentally. Yo, that's the power of art and music and movies and TV. These things that, you know, they're distractions to be sure. But they're also useful tools. You know, this is the type. Music is a healing tool. I don't know what the fuck if I didn't have music, bruh. If I didn't have music to get me through life, life would not be worth living, in my opinion. Not like in a suicidal way, but like in a like, dude, thank God for music way. Like, this shit makes the world go round to me. It gets me through so many days. There were years of my life, and it's the reason I respect Zero, otherwise known as Joseph McVeigh, as an artist so much, my favorite Houston rapper historically of all time. And I mean, no disrespect to Mr. Brad Jordan or otherwise known as Scarface, who's been a guest on this show, as he is one of inarguably the goats in the history of rap and is a Houston rapper technically. And I love the man. And he was a little older than my generation up front. So like Zero was my face when I was a younger man. And Face knows this because he was Zero's face. So like Zero was so inspired by Scarface, and Scarface was a huge part of the brand Rap-A-Lot Records, where he started out but got really hot, really blew up, had his best work. And there was a ton of influence there. So the point is this, I mean, no disrespect to Scarface. He undoubtedly deserves as much credit as Zero does in getting me through my life. But Zero was an artist that there were years where I listened to his music, somebody that I couldn't have less in common with, and I found hope. And I didn't feel so alone. And I found I wasn't the only one hurting and angry. And that just because somebody could have grown up with a totally different background, life story, and circumstances than me doesn't mean that we couldn't relate. It taught me a lot. Music is powerful. I will still go back and play 808s and Heartbreak on occasion just to feel it. And that album birthed guys like Travis Scott, Kid Cudi, Drake. I'm sick of the Kanye slander, bro. I understand the shit he's done is controversial, but he's not your fucking family. Like, you don't have to hold this man in check for all of his beliefs. He's an artist. Let him do his fucking thing. Whatever that means. And I'm serious. Whatever that means. I don't know why you would try to stop somebody's personal journey to enlightenment, which this dude's clearly been on for about 20 fucking years now. And he's gotten a hell of a lot further than a lot of us have or ever will. And with what I believe to be a pretty extreme set of mental illness circumstances up inside that man's dome that he's got to face on a daily basis and still get shit done. So, like, you can't judge people based on their... You don't know this man's life, is what I mean. You cannot... There is no point in judging people that you don't know. There is absolutely no point. We spend entirely too much time in our culture focusing on what celebrities believe or say or do. Just listen to the fucking music. Wash us in the blood. Holy Spirit, come down. Say it again, yay. Welcome the fuck back. Thank you, dude. And again, might I recommend you always take Travis Scott into the booth with you. Here's what I mean by that. If Kanye sits down and he's like, I've got this beat, and he plays it, and then everybody's like, well, that's a hit. And he's like, yes, it is. And I'm going to rap about how Noah built an ark. Then Travis Scott can go, oh, that's tight, dude, that's tight. How about this? Instead of rapping about how Noah built an ark the whole song, you do one line, and then I'll write you the rest of the song with dope shit. And Ye is like, all right, I'm going to go play Pac-Man. Or I'm sorry, I'm going to go play Sonic the Hedgehog with Kid Cudi. You write that verse. And Travis is like, all right, I got you. But look, that's the way the world was supposed to be. Travis Scott is essentially little Kanye, you know, off 2.0 or whatever. That's not even the right way to put it because he's not an upgrade. He's just like a copy. And I don't mean that disrespectfully to Travis, but he is. Like, look, he emulates Kanye in a lot of what he does. So there's no better person to have writing Kanye songs than Travis Scott, in my opinion. I'm also not claiming that he wrote this whole thing. I'm just saying you need a dude like him in the booth to reel man's in. Keep him on track. Make sure he remains focused on putting out music that is actually effective and true to him and his whole catalog and like his artistry, right? Don't let him put out stuff that's going to sully his, you know, life's work. Just help him out. That's all I'm saying. Sometimes I need fucking help. If I ever start going off the rails and the show becomes about like pogs for 4 months or something, like one of y'all better show the fuck up in the booth and start telling me what to talk about. Because this isn't a POG podcast. POGs stopped being hot in like 1992. So reel my ass in if need be. Stick Travis Scott in here with me. I didn't get the whole fucking room soundproofed and treated to not act like a rapper. To not record a full album in here at some point. Hell, I might learn how to play the violin. It's the year of the comeback. RBP310 is also brought to you by HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. HelloFresh lets you skip those trips to the grocery store, makes home cooking fun, easy, and affordable. Seriously, every time I make a HelloFresh meal, I'm amazed that even I, the village idiot of the kitchen, excuse me, even I'm able to crush these things. They're so damn good, so much better for me than literally everything else I eat. So much better than slamming another fast food meal. You're the comeback in the kitchen, too. You know what it is. HelloFresh's recipes are so delicious. They offer so many recipes to choose from each week to help you break out of your recipe rut. Something for everyone. Low calorie, vegetarian, family-friendly recipes every week. They offer fresh, high-quality ingredients every week for a super flavorful experience. Over 90% of ingredients are sourced directly from growers to ensure the freshest recipes are delivered to your door from HelloFresh. Save time and effort and stress. HelloFresh offers contactless delivery to your doorstep for easy home cooking with the family. They cut out stressful meal planning and grocery store trips so you can enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in just about 30 minutes or even 20 minutes with their quick recipe options. You can save 28% by using HelloFresh versus your grocery store shopping trips. And HelloFresh is committed to giving back. They're committed to making fresh, delicious food available now more than ever. They have taken extra steps to keep their employees and customers safe. And HelloFresh donated over 2.5 million meals to charity in 2019. And this year is stepping up their food donations amid the coronavirus crisis. Go to HelloFresh.com/RBP60. Use the code RBP60 and get $60 off your first 3 weeks, including free shipping on your first box. Additional restrictions apply. Please visit HelloFresh.com for more details. HelloFresh.com/RBP60. Use the code RBP60 for $60 off your first 3 weeks. HelloFresh, baby. Start eating better today. Next segment. How does this show make money? So because I receive several questions a week about how my job works or what my career is or how our sponsors work or how Patreon works, about what Twitch is, or I wanted to quickly outline those three things for you in case you're relatively new here or you've been curious before. Essentially, this is the breakdown. We have a third-party company called Backyard Ventures that's owned and operated by my friend and former coworker, Matt Cisneros, who has been on the show before as a guest. He owns Cisco's restaurant in Austin. And Backyard Ventures sells our advertising to sponsors. So sponsors or potential sponsors either reach out to us, or in some cases we're reaching out to them and they receive a pitch deck with our listenership data, our download numbers and whatnot, and then they pay per ad read. Okay? Some clients buy in bulk. They'll buy, 10 reads for Q2. Some buy them one at a time. And this is the important part to understand. In the podcasting industry, it's not like with television where they just pay for the size of the audience. Let's say 2.7 million people watch Ross's Great Jerk-Off Show on CBS. And that means that the commercial costs $50,000 for a two-minute ad or something. I don't know. I'm just making something up. When you pay for a television commercial, you're paying for that, and that's it. They run the ad, and that's it. You hope it works out. It's over, though. Like, you don't get data back about how well it went. Like, I guess they probably have more than they used to now, but this stuff for podcasting is highly trackable using sponsor codes, which the discount codes they provide us with, or in some cases, just custom tracking URLs, which is the websites with /RBP or /Ross or whatever they may be. They differ from sponsor to sponsor. But the way it works is if a sponsor does not get the return on investment they expected based on either traffic to the URL or usage of the custom code for our show and audience, the sponsor is unlikely to return, right? That's why it's so important that if you're interested in one of our sponsors or their products, you at least check out their website, go to the custom URL I read, and if you do shop and if you do buy, make sure you're using our code so the show is credited and you receive the proper discount attributed to you for listening here. A lot of these sponsors will have like some other deal going or something. And I know sometimes y'all just like do that one. Do the one that's from our show. In all likelihood, you're going to get either the same amount or more off. And again, the important part is that we receive credit so that our sponsors know that this is working, that people are listening, and that they are getting what they paid for. That's the way the sponsorship, the advertising, and the ad read side of this business works. It's simple as that, okay? It's pretty straightforward. And as I've explained, as a result of the pandemic, there is so much uncertainty with sponsors, and we've lost a couple of big dogs for the year. We actually just replaced one with a new sock sponsor that I can't wait to share with y'all soon. But it's more important than ever that y'all show our sponsors love when you can. That's why I made it one of the new legal obligations that we joke about at the end of every show earlier this year. Because, again, these are the guys keeping the lights on. It's one of three ways that we keep money coming in and make sure we can do what we do. Okay? So, whenever you hear a sponsor read, support our sponsors. Go to those websites. Use those codes. Get yourself some great shit because we try our best to bring you only really, really the best products and sponsors we can find. Every single one of these things I use. I sleep on the beds. I use the blankets, the pillows. I eat the food. I have all of these products. I use them all. And they're all great. We don't bring y'all trash because we don't want... That's not what we want to do here. We're about quality and results. We're not about fucking you. That's not what this is. So, that's the first way we make money. Through our sponsors, our ad reads. The second way, we have a platform called Patreon, right? Patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast is where you can go to get ad-free episodes every Friday, sometimes Saturday if my mentals are fucked, but these episodes are premium and exclusively on Patreon with no advertisements. They're the only place that you can find them. Patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. We have over 1,000 people directly financially supporting the show. That is a huge, huge help during these tumultuous times with our advertisers. And I can't tell you how much more secure I have felt as a result of having those 1,000 of y'all there making sure I can do what I do. It means the world to me. But our goal is to get 2,000 dues-paying members of the RBP gang on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast by the end of 2020, enjoying that additional ad-free and exclusive episode every week where I'm a little more unhinged. I don't have to be quite so under control or on schedule or stick to my topics and be as careful with what I say. It's a smaller, more intimate audience and a much more unhinged version of the show. I love it. It's the most fun episode I get to do every week. Patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast is also the only place you'll be able to get the second batch of RBP merch coming out before the holidays again this year. Once Chris is in and rocking in about 11 days, Chris Colson, Bolin Media's new number two, who will be my co-host on every episode of this show, is starting July 13th. 11 days from now, okay? We're trying to get to 2,000 dues-paying members of the RBP gang by the end of 2020. We're getting Chris in, and then we're getting the merch rolling later in the year, so y'all have that for the holidays. Patreon.com/RossBolandPodcast is where you can directly support the show in exchange for more RBP ad-free every single week. And that's the second way we keep the lights on and the show going on. And there's one more thing. It's Twitch. So how does Twitch work? Twitch is a platform that y'all have heard me speak to more and more over the last few months that allows you to live stream with a camera and a microphone, whatever you want. It's mostly used for video games and gaming, but it is so much more than that. And I'm on there pretty much every day. Twitch.tv/BossRolen, B-O-S-S-R-O-L-E-N. It's Ross Bolan with the B and the R reversed. Very clever. Sneaky, sneaky. We're on there all the time. We have a blast. It's become an incredible support community for both mental health and other things. We have a Discord server that goes hand in hand with all of the people that come and hang on Twitch. It's an incredible community of people, and it's about much more than gaming. Our Discord server has become a place for serious topics, mental health chat, sports talk, news, everything you can imagine. Animal photos is a whole channel just for pictures of people's pets. And again, Discord is something that you'll have to sort of get into Twitch before you learn about that. It's like Slack or any other messaging service, except it was specifically created for gamers, and it's sort of evolved into more than that. And we have a massive community of over 500 members of the RBP gang in our Discord server, which, again, is just sort of an offshoot of our entire Twitch gaming live streaming aspect of this company. Twitch.tv/BossRolan is where you can find everything we do there. All right, and it's where I'm on several times a week, play a lot of Warzone, fully addicted to it, love it. But we also work in some Grand Theft Auto lately. I used to play a shit ton of Apex Legends. I just downloaded Tropico 6 because it's this game that I used to play a lot when I was a little kid and I loved it. You play a dictator and you build like an island country. Well, they have a new one that was like 45% off, so I bought that hoe. Tropico 6, twitch.tv/BossRoland. Here's the deal. If you don't give a shit about gaming, if you don't want to watch me live, it's no offense taken, but it's one of the ways that you can directly support the show each and every month. If you have Amazon Prime, it won't cost you a dime. If you have Amazon Prime, you get one free Twitch Prime subscription every single month, which means you can subscribe to twitch.tv/BossRolan and directly financially support the show. We will get paid off that, and you don't have to do shit. You get one per month. Use it on twitch.tv/BossRolan. It takes 2 minutes to sign up for Twitch and attach your Amazon account to it. And boom, you get your free Twitch Prime sub. Use it right there on BossRolan. Support the show. Support the stream. And the show goes on. So I hope that was a succinct and helpful way for y'all to understand exactly what this is here, how this is a business and not just an entertainment show, obviously. We have big plans for what we're going to do in the future. We've got our first employee that's not named Ross Bolan starting on July 13th. Can't wait for y'all to meet Chris Colson. He's awesome. As I've sold him to y'all, he's basically me like 12 years ago, I guess, technically. I always want to say 10, but I'm even older than that. And the dude's going to grind. He's going to be an incredible addition to the show and an incredible perspective and point of view. He's a mental health patient like me. He's been through a lot in his young life and has an experience and perspective and outlook on the world that I think will be incredibly helpful for me to absorb as well. He's going to bring a lot. We're going to have a newer, younger perspective to go with my old aging ass, and it's going to be great. I can't wait. Chris Colson, July 13th. Support our sponsors. Use the codes. Check out twitch.tv/BossRolan. If you want more RBP ad-free every week, patreon.com/RossBolanPodcast. The minimum pledge is just $5 a month. That is fucking nothing. You can find that in your couch. And you can pledge whatever you want. So if you have the means and you want to throw down hard to make sure the show goes, baby, do it. You got a stew going. Before you head out to take on the world, it's time for some very important announcements. First and foremost, you've been saddled with 3 legal obligations as a result of having listened to this entire podcast. Y'all know what they are, and I just did that whole run-through on how business works here today, so I'll do these quickly. Rate and review, share the show with one person, and use our sponsor codes. Those are the 3 legal obligations. Rate and review, share the show with one person this week, and then use one of those codes. FelixGrayGlasses.com/RBP, BirdDogs.com, code RBP, HelloFresh.com/RBP60. At least go to the URLs. Just type them in your phone real quick. Hit the websites, check them out. And then if you love them, pull the trigger. Just make sure you use our codes and our URLs so that we're getting the credit we deserve, need, and must have to continue operating. Follow us on Instagram at the Ross Bolin Podcast, on Twitter at Ross Bolin Pod. We're on Facebook.com if you're the middle-aged aunt of one of our listeners. And you can follow me, Ross Bolin, on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at WRBOLEN, at WRBOLEN on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. That's my personal accounts where I, I'm most active on Twitter, but I do shit on Instagram too. Twitch.tv/BossRolin for Twitch. Check out our television and film podcast, Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, where right now we are watching Perry Mason on HBO. It's essentially True Detective Season 4, as my co-host Mr. Barrett Dudley would put it. It's phenomenal. We're going to be watching through Episode 3 and covering it on the podcast next week. Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, available wherever RBP is available. We are also watching Dark Season 3 and covering that in full for the remainder of the year as well. We're covering through Episode 4 of Dark Season 3, the final season of Dark, one of the best shows I've ever seen. Covering it on Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, our TV and film podcast, available wherever RBP is available. And that will do it for RBP 310, produced remotely by Mike Moody Garcia of Permanent Record Studios in Austin, Texas. We will be back tomorrow with another ad-free episode exclusively on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. Ad-free Fridays on Patreon. Get in there. Support the show to access. Next episode on Apple Podcasts and Spotify is coming Monday with RBP 311, RBP 311 coming Monday. You are not alone. Podman gets paid. Respect Mr. Park. Strength and honor. Gang, gang, gang. Peace be with you and also with you.
Go low, baby.